Well, hello, and welcome back to our podcast on spiritual warfare, Battle Plan, and to this small group study from my book, Prayers Satan Hates. This is actually the 21st lesson in this small group study. We're going to continue that study today. There's also a free downloadable PDF transcript of this podcast with some Q&A discussion thoughts or discussion questions at the end, available on our website at active-faith.org under the resources tab, or you can go to the Active Faith app and get it. Today we're going to talk about doubt. Matthew 11, 2-3, NLT. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else?" Do you ever have doubts? I do. I doubt God's provision, even though I know he promised it. I doubt his love, even though I feel alone when I face a problem sometimes. I doubt his commands. Why do I think I know a better way than his way? I've yet to talk to anyone who doesn't doubt at some point. We're human, right? We all doubt. Jesus said that John, his cousin, John the Baptist, was the greatest human ever born. Matthew 11, 11, NLT, I tell you the truth, of all who've ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Wow. Yet, as we see from this previous verse in the section, when John faced a life situation that didn't match his expectations, he doubted the deity of Christ. Now, let's think about that for just a second. Let it soak in. John baptized Jesus, Matthew 3:15-17. John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly beloved Son, who brings me great joy." After he performed this required ritual of baptism to fulfill all righteousness, Matthew 3:15a, he saw the Spirit descend on Jesus like a dove. He heard the voice of God from the heavens. The moment Jesus was baptized, God acknowledged him as his son. Now, that might be a significant thing to remember. Perhaps it's the same at our own baptisms. John saw it all. He was there. On top of all this, they were cousins. Mary even visited Elizabeth when they were both pregnant. John jumped in her womb as a preborn child, Luke 1:41. I have to think they shared their prophecies with each other about their sons they carried in their bellies. Notice that the angel told Zacharias that what John would accomplish. Luke 1:15-17, NLT. He will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. He'll cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. And then notice also what the angel told Mary about Jesus before he was born. Luke 1:32-33, NLT. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. It's also plausible that Elizabeth shared all this with John as he grew into adulthood. Anyway, if anyone should know that Jesus was the one, it should be John. He saw the dove. He heard the voice of God confirming Jesus, yet he doubted. When the circumstances of life didn't match what he expected, he doubted. He sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the one. Now, I've said many times in Bible classes I've taught over the years, if I were God, I would have sent Jesus when we could video the resurrection and post it on the internet so we could all be Christians. But then it wouldn't be faith, would it? God wanted it to be a faith issue. He wanted us to choose Jesus of our own free will because we believed in him. Remember the days when marriages were arranged by the parents? Children didn't have a choice. parent chose the mates for their youngsters, oftentimes long before they were old enough. My wife chose me. Now, that made it special. She could have chosen someone else, but she didn't. She chose me. God didn't make us robots without a choice, although he could have. If we had no choice but to love and to serve him, then it really would not be love, would it? God sent Jesus at just the right time, it says in Romans 5, verse 6. And everyone has a choice of whether or not to serve him and follow him. What have you chosen? And remember, if you haven't chosen Jesus, then you're not in Christ. God wants to see if you will have faith. Notice this verse that describes how God tested each new generation of Israelites by leaving some of their enemies free to attack them. Without potential attacks, you see, and trials in life, then faith is not revealed. Judges 2, 21, 22, NIV. I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations Joshua left when he died. I will use them to test Israel and see whether they will keep the way of the Lord and walk in it as their ancestors did. Lord, please forgive all my doubts, and from now on, help me to choose faith when the world makes me doubt. Help me to trust you in spite of what my circumstances look like. In Jesus' name, amen. So in light of today's thoughts, I would suggest that part of your personal battle plan might be to consider the following two discussion thoughts. Number one, make a list of all the ways and situations where you've doubted God. Recall the ways you tried to fix the problem before even consulting him for direction. And number two, pray that you'll change and make prayer your first response instead of your last resort. Ask God to forgive you for moving forward without consulting him in the past, and ask him to remind you to pray first in the future. And let me remind you to keep praying, because prayer works. God loves you, and I love you. Have a great day.